introduce to you Keith Luker to the meeting tonight. Keith has been involved in ministry for 3 decades as various things, as a pastor, as a worship leader, as a prophetic psalmist, and in more recent years as a traveling revivalist who has been carrying the power and presence of God all over the globe. So we're excited to have him here. I first met Keith about 12 years ago, and during that time he was running a worship school called in the Dallas area called Young Hungry Lions. Young Hungry Lions. Now, how many of you know it's good to be a young hungry lion? How many of you know it's good to be a middle-aged hungry lion? Or in my case, a old hungry lion. But in the most recent years, Keith's been traveling. What I could probably describe as just a supernatural set of circumstances, we reconnected, and God has given him to the Phoenix area for like an entire month to just come here and fan the flames of revival for Arizona. Hallelujah. And so it's exciting. We're going to be here tonight. We're actually going to be in a number of different places. After tonight, we're heading up to the Church for the Nations in Prescott for a week. Then we're going to be back at the Church for the Nations Church in Surprise and various other places. So one thing I did want to mention before I let him loose on you guys is there's a little card that we developed. We thought, you know, the best way to get the word around is simply to create an event page on Facebook. How many of you are Facebookers? Okay, most of us, like something like 3 billion people on planet Earth are Facebookers now. Oops. So we have this little card that has Feast of Fire Arizona event page, and it has the ongoing itinerary where we're going to be the entire month and on into October. So if you didn't get one when you're coming in, there's a table back there, and Keith might mention some of his other music and resources there. But be sure and get one of those cards, because if you like what happens tonight, there's more. There's always more. In fact, I remember Steve Hill saying, until your shadow is healing the sick, there's more. Amen. So anyway, without any more rambling by me, Keith, why don't you come on up?
Hallelujah. Love you, brother.
Thank you. Can we just give Jesus a shout of praise now? Hey! Woo! Jesus! It's so great to be with you, and I just really appreciate the worship. I feel a little tipsy on the Holy Spirit tonight, just being in that worship. And I'm telling you, it's good to get full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what we're going to attempt to do tonight. So if you guys want to join with us as we go for more, just bang your hands together, give a shout of praise, do something that lets me know that's what you want. All right. All right, then. Before we do anything, I do have a message I want to share with you tonight, and we want to get to the prayer time as quick as possible, because we really believe that the Lord is pouring out his fire and just an unprecedented power of the Holy Spirit in these days. And we want to get to the prayer time so we have an opportunity to lay hands on you and pray for you that the fire of God would increase in your life. So we want to get to that right away. But before we do that, I just wanted to introduce to you some of the folks that have been coming to the meetings in Maricopa, Church for the Nations Maricopa. Pastor Jim's the pastor down there, and we've been having a great time. Could you guys just stand up if you've been to the meetings in Maricopa? Any of you that are here with us tonight? A bunch of these people are going to join your ministry team tonight as we pray for one another. Thank you guys so much for being here. Katie Souza's here. Thank you, Katie. Right on the front row. Woo! And so if you see someone strange approaching you with a green band on their arm, that's the folks that have been in the meetings in Maricopa, and they are authorized and trained and released by this church to pray for you tonight, okay? But before we do that, could we just stand up one more time? And I'm going to ask you to do something. We are learning that there's more to our Christian lives than just giving, 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 giving all the time. Actually, we're learning that we need to be as good at receiving from the Lord. Everybody say receiving. Receiving from the Lord. We need to be at least as good at receiving from the Lord as we are at giving. Okay? Most of us are really good at giving. We give all the time. We give our time. We give our energy. We give our tithes. We give offerings. We give our tears, our love, right? We're givers. But when it comes to the matter of receiving, sometimes it's a little bit more challenging. You know what I'm talking about. Most of us love to give, but it's a little bit harder to receive. But I think we need to learn this. I really think we need to be excellent at this. And another word for receiving from the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to call it drinking, okay? Drinking the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, it's very hard to drink and talk at the same time. Just like it's hard to listen to the Lord and talk at the same time. You know, we're good at talking. Sometimes our prayers are just kind of one way. But we need to spend as much time listening, receiving, everybody say drinking, drinking the Holy Spirit as we are giving our worship and giving our money and giving our energy. Amen? You with me so far? All right. I believe this is a biblical practice, and we're not that good at it, so we need to learn. So we're going to have a short clinic on drinking. All right, you ready? The Bible says, the Lord says this, open your mouth and I will fill it, says the Lord. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Our part is what? Just open your mouth. What does that look like? You open your heart. You open your spirit. You say yes. You surrender. You say, I want more, just like we were singing over and over and over again. I love it when we sing a phrase like, I want more, about 100 times. Because in about the 99th time, it goes from here to here, and all of a sudden we go, wait a minute, I want more. And we get it, right? So God says, open your mouth, open your heart, open your spirit tonight. Surrender. Have a fresh obedience to the Lord, a fresh opening of your spirit to the Lord. All right? Can everybody do that on the count of three? I just want you to, I know this is weird. All right? Just open your spirit to the Lord on the count of three. One, two, three. Just open your spirit. Just receive from the Lord right now. Now, drink of the Holy Spirit. Drink of the presence of God. Drink of Jesus. Drink of the Word of God. Drink of the power. Drink of everything that He has for you tonight. Would you do that right now? Just drink it in. Just drink Him in. This is nothing fancy. It's just drinking in more of God's presence. Drinking in more of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Can you just do that for a second? All right, now touch your neighbor and the family that drinks together stays together. So just drink with your friend there. Just drink with your friend a little bit. Oh, Holy Spirit, we open wide our mouths. We say, yes, come. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. Fill us with the power of God. Fill us with your presence, oh God. Just come. We want to drink you in tonight. We want to drink you in, Holy Spirit. Are you having fun yet? Come on, drink a little bit more. Drink a little bit more. Let's get this party started tonight. Hey, it's Sunday night. It's Sunday night, man. Come on, let's drink a little bit. It'll make the party go a lot better. 30 more seconds. You do it. You do it. You know how to do this. Open your mouth. Everybody say, woo! All right, you may have a seat. Thank you. I may ask you to do a lot of strange things like that tonight. Isn't it amazing what the Lord is doing in our day? I heard you guys are in a season of prayer and pressing into the Lord. I'm really, really amazed by that. I'm so excited about what God is doing in the greater Phoenix area. I'm excited about what He's doing at CFTN all over Arizona. And this is an amazing time to be alive. And I want to share with you a prophetic dream that I had that I believe is a message for us today. I believe it's a message for us tonight. But I want to ask you to do something for me. I know I'm asking a lot of you for just being a first-time speaker here. But I want to ask you to stir up the faith that is within you tonight for what God is about to do in 30 minutes. Can we do that? Did you know another word for faith is expectation? Expectation. Many times when Jesus was about to do something awesome, he was about to do a miracle, he was about to release a healing, he would look at the person, and I'm going to put it in my own words, okay? We know what he said to people. He said, let it be done according to your faith. But I'm going to just put it in my own words and use the definition from the scripture, but it's not necessarily in the English words as we know it. But in the original language, what Jesus was asking people, he was saying, let this miracle happen to you according to what you are expecting from God. Can I say that again? Let the miracle that you need tonight happen exactly the way you expect it. That's just kind of a modern way to say the same thing. Let it be done to you according to your faith. So what is our part? Our part is expectation. Our part is risk. Our part is the part where we say, yes, Jesus, I believe you are who you said you are, and I believe you want to do what you said you want to do, and I believe you will do it tonight, and you will do it for me. Now, that's real faith. That's real faith. It's not real faith to say, if thy will be done, you know, I'm not sure what God's will is. I don't know what he wants, but let me just pray for you. Oh God, if it be thy will, maybe, maybe not. Hey, I think when I pray, my job is to believe that God will. Not only that he will, but he will right now. And whenever I stretch out my hand, I don't know about you, but I want to be a believing believer. When I stretch out my hand and I say, in the name of Jesus, my job is to believe that the power of God is going to come out of my hand. Right? So we're believing believers tonight. Amen? We have faith. We have expectation. We're not just whistling Dixie, right? We're not just playing around here tonight. We didn't just come for another service. We came to encounter the presence and the power of God in a real tangible way. That's why we're here, right? So I want to share with you a prophetic dream that I had. And this will lead right into the prayer time, but I really want to ask you to lean forward in your spirit tonight. I want you to begin to expect that God is going to meet you here tonight in an unprecedented way, that you are going to experience the power of God in your own life more than you ever have. Okay, would you do that for me? This is the dream. I had this dream when my family and I were staying in the home of Wesley and Stacy Campbell. I don't know if you guys know them, but they are wonderful, a man and woman of God, a wonderful family. Stacy's a prophet to the nations. She's been to Phoenix many times and prophesied amazing things over this area. And we went, my son's here with me today, John right here on the front row. And I also have a wife married to the same woman, 33 years. And praise God, whoo, we made it, hallelujah. And two daughters that are 12 and 9, and all five of us were sleeping in the basement at Wesley and Stacy Campbell's house in Kelowna, British Columbia. They were having, at the time, their prophetic conference for the year, which is called Eyes and Wings. Some of you might have heard of that prophetic conference. And so we were there to lead the worship. Chuck Pierce was speaking, Heidi Baker was also speaking, and we were helping with the worship. But we were sleeping in the basement of a prophet. Now, many of us, we love to put a little room in our house or have the man or woman of God come and stay with us, right? It's a blessing to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, and it's a wonderful blessing for us to host someone that has that gift. Amen. Does anybody like to do that? You like to have people stay at your house, and it's a blessing to your house for them to stay there. But how many of you know if you go sleep in the house of a prophet, you're probably going to have a dream? All right. I had this dream. It was so anointed. I'm not a big dreamer. Now, my wife is the dreamer. She's the talent in the family. And if she were here tonight, you would get the full meal deal. But you just get little old me tonight. Anyway, she has like 17 dreams per night with interpretation. You know the type I'm talking about. That's not me. I have one dream about every 2 or 3 years that I remember. It's always really powerful. It's always something that the Lord helps me remember, and it usually becomes a life message for me. This was one of those dreams. So I'm going to share it with you tonight, and it'll lead right into the prayer time. I dreamed this dream 12 times in the same night. I don't know how I knew it was 12. I just knew. I woke up, remembered the dream, went back to sleep, woke up again, remembered the dream, went back to sleep. All night long, I dreamed this dream. And when I woke up in the morning, I had a few bullet points from the Lord that came out of this dream. And this is what he said to me. He said, I'm looking for the Elisha generation right now. That's Elisha now, not Elijah. Elijah was the prophet of God. Elisha also became a prophet of God. But in the beginning, he was just the servant of Elijah. Everybody say servant. He was just an usher in the church, just a deacon, just someone that was there to help everything happen the way the man of God needed it. And this is what the Lord said. He said, I'm looking for that right now. And he defined it in two ways. He said, I'm looking for the Elisha generation right now, those that would have the audacity to ask me for the double portion. All right, by your response, I can tell there's some craziness in this room. You're crazy like me. You actually believe God for big things. You actually have an expectation that God is going to do something awesome in your lifetime. Amen? So God says, I'm looking for that right now. I'm looking for the Elishas. Where are they? It's like the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth right now. And he's looking for people with guts. He's looking for people with an expectation. He's looking for audacity. I love that word. I love the way the Holy Spirit talks. That's not a word I would pick. But that's what the Lord said. I'm looking for those who would have the audacity to ask me for the double portion. Have you ever just really got down and asked the Lord for something big? How's that working out for you? Just kidding. Just kidding. No, we should. We really should, because he's like that, right? I believe we're going to ask him for something big tonight, and I believe he's going to deliver. The second thing that the Lord said to me about the Elisha generation, which I think is us, I think he's looking for us. I think he's looking for you tonight. He said, not only those that would have the audacity to ask me for the double portion, but secondly, those who would have the tenacity to stick around. Everybody say stick. Serve the anointing. Hang on to the mothers and fathers until they actually receive the double portion. Because it's one thing to ask. It's one thing to be crazy enough to ask the Lord for the double portion of something big. It's another thing altogether to receive the double portion, right? It's two different things. Tell your neighbor it's two different things. It's completely different. It's one thing to ask. It's another thing to receive it. Amen? God says, I'm looking for both in the same package. Both in the same person. This kind of audacity, this kind of craziness, this kind of chutzpah, this kind of guts, this kind of a push into God's purposes in your generation that would say, go ahead, Lord, give me a double portion of the Azusa Street Revival. Woo! I think I'm talking to the right people, brother. I really do. This is where we're at. We got that audacity. We believe this stuff. We're not unbelieving believers, amen? We're believing believers. We actually believe this stuff, or we wouldn't waste your time with it, right? We actually believe that God wants to pour out his spirit on this generation in a way the world has never seen. Never seen. And can I tell you what I've been seeing with my own eyes the last 2 years? 2 years ago, the Lord said to me, you are going to experience unprecedented power. Do you know what unprecedented means? It means more than you've ever had before, more than you've ever seen before. Now, to a guy like me who's been in the Toronto revival, I've been in the Pensacola revival, I've been in Lakeland 1, I've been in Lakeland 2. I live at Bethel, for goodness sakes. For God to say unprecedented, that's like ridiculously big, right? He said you're going to experience unprecedented power, power like you've never seen before. Can I just tell you that the last 2 years, I have experienced unprecedented power of God. Is that good news? I'm not prophesying this. This is what I've seen. This is what I have experienced in my own life, in my own ministry. We went to Oklahoma City, and God said, go for 60 days. We started with 10 people, and God poured out his spirit in such a way that by the end of the 60 days, we had 450 people coming to the nightly meetings and an absolutely electric atmosphere of the presence of God. We had the fire tunnels to end all fire tunnels. I mean, we had so much of God's power in some of these fire tunnels where you get, you know, two rows of people and you go in between and you try to run the gauntlet and you try to survive the fire tunnel and you try to make it to the end before you fall down and the ushers have to come and drag you out. Like that. Everybody say like that. We saw this. Day after day after day after day. And we had city shaking revival by the end of 60 days. Then God said, go to Tulsa. I went to Tulsa for one night. Stayed for 4 months. We had meetings in Tulsa. This was just last year. Everybody say last year. Hey, that's recent, man. This is happening now. Last year we went for one night. And this one night was a Sunday night just like this. And it happened to fall, I don't know how the Lord does these, he's into the details. It happened to fall on the anniversary, the 19th anniversary of the Toronto outpouring. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that, but it is the reason we have revival in North America and around the world today, because God sent his spirit to Toronto in 1994, and that one outpouring has touched the entire earth. It happened to fall. It was a Sunday night. It happened to fall on the anniversary of the Toronto outpouring. I just thought that was an interesting fact. What really got my attention that night, though, was right over here to my right, about in this area where you guys are, there was a group of young teenage girls. And they started to giggle while I was preaching, just like this. I was just preaching. And I noticed a group of them just started to giggle right over there. And I thought, oh, they're texting their friends. You know how little girls do that. And they're just kind of Twitter painted. You know, they're just watching Disney movies or something on their phones. You know, I don't know what they're doing, but they're giggling. And then I realized it was the presence of the Lord. And so as I just acknowledged the presence of the Holy Spirit, I said, I think the Holy Spirit's doing something over there. And as I walked toward this little group of girls, they began to laugh uncontrollably. And then they began to shake uncontrollably. And then they couldn't stop weeping. So they were getting three of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit all at the same time, laughing, crying, and shaking. And I did what any prudent revivalist would do. I invited the group of girls up to the front to be the ministry team. So we made a fire tunnel of the teenage, little young teenage girls. And they were all so much under the power of God, just vibrating with the power of God. It was an awesome thing to watch. But they all had their eyes closed and they're weeping and shaking and laughing and all this going on, and they're trying to lay hands on people, but, you know, young girls are short, and they're just laying hands on inappropriate places. And I said, girls, open your eyes. When you minister, open your eyes. Aim high, girls, aim high. And these little girls, about a dozen of them, I kid you not, they ended up in a pile. Everybody say pile. It was a pile of glory. And there was so much power on this pile of little girls. I told the ushers, just get around them and don't let anybody touch them. Just let God do what he's doing. And it was a downpour of the Holy Spirit. We're right in the middle of revival, and it's breaking out all across that church in Tulsa. And the pastors just quickly usher me out and take me to the restaurant. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, we got revival here. I don't want to go to the restaurant. But they took me to the restaurant, and they didn't say, hi, Keith, how are you? How's your family? We'd like to get to know you. Nothing. They just sat down at the restaurant. They leaned forward across the table, both of them, real intense, and they said, do you think we can extend these meetings? I said, uh-huh. Sure enough, did you see what happened tonight? They said, yeah, we did. They said, it was just like Toronto. I said, I know. It was the anniversary. What happened? They said, we haven't had that in our church in a long time. I went for one night, stayed 4 months. 4 months. Every night we would have worship. It was so amazing. Some of the worship times, you know, kind of like a few minutes ago when the atmosphere just thickens up. It's like, in worship, it's like Jell-O. You ever tried to breathe Jell-O during worship, man? It's amazing. We had worship times where the presence of God was so thick, it was almost like you could see the cloud of his presence hovering like this, but not really, you know. And people would try to enter the sanctuary because they came late. They came late to church, and they would open the door to the sanctuary, and there was so much of God's power inside that room. It was so thick like Jell-O. I saw them do this many times. They would open the door to the sanctuary, and they would bounce off this Jell-O, fall down under the power of God, and we didn't need catchers. We needed draggers to drag them in the meeting because they were causing a clog. Now, this is what I've seen. When God says you're going to experience unprecedented power, this is some of the gnarliness of it, man. This is what he does. So I got a question for you before I go on with the story, and then we're going to pray in just a few minutes. Is it all right with you if God does something tonight that you don't understand? That was a pretty good response. That's about 50%. I like that. Y'all are awesome. All right, let's go a little deeper. Is it all right with you if God does something with your neighbor? Y'all like this part. That you're completely uncomfortable with. Is it okay if God does that? Why are you so much happier about your neighbor getting it? When God comes in unprecedented power, let me tell you something, it tests all of us. Look at your neighbor and say it tests all of us. Hey, me too, me too, me too. You know, it's one thing to be okay with a little bit of shaking. But when that goes times 10, that's when we get scared. I call it the scary power of God. Last time I checked, he didn't need our permission to do that. But he often asks for it. Isn't that nice of him? Some people say the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. I'm not sure about that. I think he's sometimes a gentleman. I love the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, don't you? I love the gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes like a rushing mighty wind. And if we're not willing to accept the rushing mighty wind, we're going to miss 2/3 of God. So, heaven has taken all your names down tonight, all of you that agreed with this, because when we get to the prayer time, God wants to do something unprecedented. He really does. So he says he's looking for the Elisha generation right now. Those that would have this kind of audacity to press in for more. To actually believe God could do something great. Secondly, those that would have tenacity to stick around, serve the anointing, and hold on to the mothers and fathers until they actually receive the double portion. Because that's what Elisha did. And I believe God's looking for us tonight. Elisha was the servant of Elijah the prophet. And one day, Elijah turned to him and he said, "What would you like me to give you before I leave the earth?" He knew he was about to go to heaven. And Elisha had been serving Elijah, we don't know how many years, but a long time. And he turned to his mentor. He turned to his spiritual father. He actually called him in the scriptures, "My master, my Lord." That's how much honor he had for the man of God. And when Elijah said, "What can I give you before I leave the earth?" he did not hesitate. Elisha had a lot of time to think about this. He said, "I'll take a double portion of your spirit. Thank you very much." Do you remember what Elijah's reaction was? I'll give you the modern version of it. He said, "Shut up, dude. Do you realize what you're asking? I can't believe you would ask for double me." The Bible says, he said, "Oh, you've asked a difficult thing." I added all the rest of that. "You've asked a difficult thing. I don't know if God can even do that. I mean, double Elijah, are you kidding me? That's a lot." Everybody say unprecedented. Oh. He said, "But if you see me when I leave, then you have what you asked for." Amen. Did you realize what Elijah just said right there was a conditional promise? Everybody say conditional. Do you know most of God's promises are conditional? That's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? You know, his love's unconditional. He loves us no matter what we do, amen? But if you get a prophetic word in your life, or God speaks something to you, or you receive a word directly from the Bible, or a friend, or a credible prophetic voice comes up to you and speaks something into you, and you know it's from God, can I just tell you that it's probably a conditional word? If you do this, then you will get this. That's what he said to Elisha. If you see me when I leave, then you'll get what you asked for. Sometimes I think our prophetic words are staying on the back burner because we have never met the conditions of the word. And if you want to see the prophetic words in your life fulfilled, bring that stuff to the front burner and turn up the heat on it and say, "Come on, God, come on. I'll take a double portion of your spirit." So you remember the story? The whirlwind comes, the chariots of fire come, and earlier that day, Elijah had said to Elisha, "Stay here, I'm going to go over here and do some big prophet stuff, and you need to stay here." But he had already told him, "If you see me when I leave, then and only then you'll have what you ask for." And when Elijah the prophet said to his young understudy, Elisha, when he said, "Stay here, I'm going to go over here," Elisha already had in mind, "If I see him." And he said to his mentor, "No, as surely as the Lord lives, I will not leave you today." 3 times in the same day, he says, "Stay here, boy, stay. Stay, sit, stay." And he turned to the one that he honored the most, the one that he respected the most, and he said, "No." Everybody say no.
No.
Say a little louder.
No.
Say it just a little louder.
No.
You need that word. That's a good word. You know why no is a good word? Because if you have a compelling yes in your spirit, you can say no to everything else. Right? What's the yes? "If you see me when I leave, then you'll have what you asked for." What was it that he asked for? Oh my goodness. It was the greatest outpouring of the prophetic anointing in the history of mankind. A double portion of Elijah. So the whirlwind comes, the chariots of fire come, and there it is. Elisha's looking up to heaven. And he sees something falling from heaven. It's Elijah's mantle. You guys believe in catching mantles? You believe in impartation? I tell you what, if I were here tonight in the audience and we had a prayer time like we're about to have in about 5 minutes, I would hurt you in Jesus' name to get to the front. That's just the way I am. I'm hungry for the Lord. I've had so many wonderful men and women of God lay hands on me, and if they don't do it right, I grab their hand and I stick it on my head. Pray for me. And I heard Randy Clark and Papa Bill Johnson are coming to town in just a few days, and I'm saying, Jim, we got to get to those meetings. I'll just walk right up to Randy and say, right here, buddy. I believe in impartation. I believe we all should. But Elisha grabbed the mantle out of the air, and then he walked over to the Jordan River where they had crossed on dry ground, and I can just see him raising the mantle up to heaven and saying something like, let's see if this thing works. And he walks over to the Jordan River, which is quite a large river. Some of you have been there. It's not a little stream, right? It's a big river. And he takes the mantle and he says, where's the Lord God of Elijah now? And he strikes the Jordan River and it rolls up and he crosses on dry ground just like Elijah. Yeah. And I don't know if you caught this part, but this is the end of it. The junior prophets were watching everything happen. They were watching from the bushes. They saw Elijah go up. They saw Elisha catch the mantle. They saw him strike the Jordan River. They saw the Jordan River roll up. And they saw Elisha cross on dry ground. And this is what the scripture says was their commentary, the school of the prophets. This was their commentary on what they saw. This is what they said. The spirit of Elijah is resting on him. Ooh. And just so we wouldn't get confused, the recorded miracles of Elisha in the Bible are exactly twice as many as Elijah. Boom. What does that mean? It means he got it, man. He got it. He got the double portion. He got what he asked for. Woo! I believe God's looking for that right now. He said to me 12 times, in the same night, I'm looking for the Elisha generation right now. Since he said it to me, I'm thinking it's us. Why not, right? Why not here? Why not now? Why not us? We're the Elisha generation. We're the ones he's looking for. He said those who would have the audacity to ask me for a double portion. Who's going to ask for big things tonight? Who's going to ask for double portion of the Welsh revival? I'm going for big tonight. I want a double portion of my Pastor Bill Johnson's anointing. I want to be his Elisha. He also said those that would have the tenacity to stick around till they receive it. That's a whole nother thing, isn't it? Elisha found himself perfectly positioned to catch the literal mantle of Elijah the prophet, the greatest prophet in the history of Israel, right up there with Moses. He was right there because his job description was he poured water on the hands of the man of God. Just serving, just cooking his food, rubbing his feet, bringing him water, updating his Twitter account, whatever the man of God needed. There he was. Hashtag double portion. So glad I'm in a big city. They understand that. You've probably been schooling him on that, Ian. That's awesome. I just made that up right there. So y'all all hashtag double portion tonight, would you? We might get something going here. Listen, we want to pray for you in just a few minutes. Pastor Ian's going to come and receive an offering. But would you just keep this anticipation? This is a really good place right here. Let's just keep it for just a few minutes while we do a little business. Then we're going to come back and pray for everybody. And we're going to see the power of God in an unprecedented way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Tonight's going to be awesome. Listen, we're going to give you guys an opportunity to sow into this ministry. He's going to be here for another couple weeks, and we want to give you guys the opportunity to sow into what God is doing in that ministry and through what God's doing in this state. He's going to be in Prescott. Where else? All over the place. Perfect. Awesome. So you have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to sow into that, and so please do that. We're going to give you guys an opportunity. Then we're going to go back and have some ministry tonight. I'm pumped. Sitting over there just melting like, Jesus, come on. Come on, let's pray real quick while we're passing the buckets. Let's not lose that fervor that we had. Come on, pray. Let's pray. Let's start pressing in. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you're awesome. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Awesome. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's just lift our hands to heaven. Come on, let's just love on him. Jesus is here, the King of glory. We worship you, God. Let me pray for you guys real quick, and we're going to go into our time of ministry. Jesus, you're awesome. God, I thank you that your presence is here, and where your presence is, there's freedom. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from life, freedom from struggles, freedom from the things in life that bring us down. Jesus, there is peace in this place. Overwhelming peace. Everlasting joy. We worship you, God.